Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie. Michael and Jeannie share with you the wisdom of the ancient Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. They offer tools and support 5 days a week. They will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love. In Aramaic, Rachma. Michael is the author of Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. And now your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice.
To the brightness within you and the truth that is rooted within me.
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio. We're delighted and honored that you're here to be with us today. I'm not sure if Jeannie has a technical problem. I'm actually in town, and so she's out there on the ranch, and hopefully she'll be with us momentarily. Mind Shifters Radio is a project that is dedicated to bringing the original principles of first century Aramaic forgiveness to every mind, heart, and being on planet Earth. That's our process. And of course, an important part of doing that is to integrate and learn it in every aspect of our lives. And so that's what we're doing. That's what it's all about. We are, after 10 months and a little better than 10,000 miles on the road, Jeannie's actually compiling the statistics for our journey. We just finished. We got home a couple days ago. We're back in Theodosia. It's a little rainy and cloudy here today. And we're getting ready to get the Heart Center open for our summer season. It'll start on July the 11th with a 10-day food fund forgiveness and work economy program, where we'll do work projects on the property during the day, and then in the evenings do workshops, and Saturday do the Mind Shifter and Soul Point breathing process. So all systems are go, and we're moving forward with taking these tools to every set of ears that's willing to listen. And we've even gotten the opportunity to take them to a few sets of ears that aren't willing to listen, but happen to be in the space. So it's always interesting to watch people's response to the use of the tools and the willingness level to engage in and put those tools to work. So we're looking at a technology of the mind. You know, it's interesting that we're given this device that's the most powerful device in the world, with virtually no instructions, only the modeling of our generations, which, if you look at the way the planet's been run for the last few centuries, isn't very human, let's say. And so we're looking to restore human life, and our definition of human life is simple. Hold a newborn child, you know exactly what human life is. And to look at the dynamics that come out of relationship, that come out of living our lives on this planet, and understanding the way that the energy system called life operates, gives one a big leg up on creating the world in a way that really supports them, in a way that really brings forward the truth of who we are. Hold a newborn child, you know who you are. The world perhaps has delivered some messages that are a little different than you are the awesome active presence of love. And if it has, then there's some work to do. There's some correction required. Sadly, there have been messages of some of the most dire insanity passed from generation to generation in our culture that's ever existed. And so we're here to bring correction. We're here to hold the space for moving forward as the active presence of love and functioning out of the true being that you are. Jeannie, are you with us? Dear heart? Well, I assume Jeannie's got a technical problem. I don't know what's going on. But anyway, if we were having some difficulties this morning with the internet service out at Hartley, so it's possible that the internet service on, she can't even get on to turn on her own phone to say, I'm here and what's happening. So whoever's out there in listener land, we're glad that you're here, and we'll do this without conversation until we do get to hear from Jeannie. And we neglected to do this yesterday, but yesterday was Patrick Quinn's Eternal Day, and so we'll wish Patrick a happy Eternal Day. And he, I understand, spent his day out in the woods here in Theodosia, one of his favorite things to do. So we'll hold a space for an awesome Eternal Day and day afterward, and the beginning of the best year yet of his eternal life. And when you realize that, you know, if you looked at the ancient teachings, they said to he that overcomes, and what do you need to overcome except your generational patterns? To he that overcomes, he will not taste of the second death. In other words, if the spiritual death occurs where we lose awareness of ourselves as love, the second death is when the body goes. And if we overcome the insanities of the generations, then we're going to step into a different space and not have to play that game, that old game of dying. Of course, everybody's been tricked into thinking that's a necessity. Of course, that's the theological perspective. If you take a look at the scientific perspective, you hear the physicists saying that there's only one thing, it's energy, and energy is eternal. And if energy is eternal, then you and I must be eternal. If we are, why do we expect to die? Well, the average person expects to die because the generational patterns of death have been born and bred in them. They've been raised on death and the expectation of that as a normal and natural phenomenon, which, of course, it is not. And what is it that causes death? Well, if you go back into the ancient Aramaic, they had a word that described engaging in disintegrative energy. That relative to this energy system, if we listen to Einstein, Einstein says this: on such things as matter, we have been all wrong. What we have heretofore called matter is energy, energy whose vibrations have been so lowered as to be perceptible to the senses. There is no matter. So, matter doesn't exist, then we must be energy. If energy is the only thing that exists, and energy is eternal, what's this death thing about? Well, the way that you take an energy system apart is to put into it a disintegrative energy, an energy that doesn't belong in it. And there's an interesting word in Aramaic that describes the disintegrative energy, and the word is, don't cringe too much, the word is sin. Now, the Greeks have turned that into some huge bugaboo, but the word is simply, in Aramaic, an archery term, and when you fired at the target and you missed the bullseye, the scorekeeper would yell sin, you're off the mark. Kind of like positive feedback, as in take another shot. We've been taught something different about that word, but all it means is an energy in your structure that's off the mark. If, in fact, every newborn comes in the same way as love, which I'd offer from asking the question of tens of thousands of people all over the globe for many decades, we all do come in that way, then any energy that's less than love would make sense that that would be disintegrative or sin, off the mark. Hate, fear, anger, rage, guilt, grief, pain, trauma, and drama. And if you look at what runs the average person's life, what runs them is the dynamics of their power person. If you've never known about power person dynamic and you've never addressed your own power person dynamics, then all anyone has to do is watch you under stress to know exactly the way your power person behaves. Because most people are totally and completely controlled by their power person dynamics. Whatever it is that their power person did, especially when under stress, is transferred to the mind of the child. So one who's never understood or addressed or cleaned out, forgiven the power person dynamics, lives in three behaviors. they're limited to three behaviors. Rare would be the opportunity to step outside of those behaviors. And the behaviors go like this, and they're all related to stress. When there's no stress, what people do is they do whatever their power person did, or pardon me, they'll do whatever they did to get along with their power person. That'll be the first behavior. When stress starts to build, they'll move into doing whatever they did to resist and survive with their power person. And then, when they become ultra-stressed, they'll do whatever their power person did to them that they hated the most. And that just runs the show. One of the most gracious questions you can offer somebody, although many people won't receive it that graciously, is when you see someone doing a behavior under stress, and then they kick themselves forward afterward and they realize they haven't been very kind, is to simply ask the question, how did it feel when your power person did that to you? So let's say the dynamic is being ignored. So somebody's under stress and they turn away and they just isolate themselves and ignore others. To ask that person the question, how did it feel when your power person ignored you, will tend, if there's any willingness there, to open that dynamic up and start the healing process. Now, if there's no willingness, you've got to be very careful because you may find yourself playing John the Baptist. And John the Baptist, if you remember, was called the raving maniac in the desert. He was the one that could reach into the deepest hidden parts of the mind and bring up what was hidden in that unconscious, or the code word from the scriptures is the desert. And so you do have to be careful when you ask that question that you've got someone who's in some sort of a space of willingness. And if they are, then they'll start to open. And if you can hold the space, if you can be the space of love in that situation, then what happens is you get to open a whole different dynamic with them, a whole different process of healing. But those parts of the mind need to open. And if we refuse to open those parts of the mind, then the tendency is to just be controlled by the unconscious dynamic. And we're here to open those dynamics up, to look. Not Dr. Feelgood when you go in there. In fact, most people, when they come together, are resonated energetically. Because we're energetic beings, we are resonated into each other's space by the most powerful energy dynamics that we hold within us. If the most powerful energy dynamics that we hold within us are those that we experience with our power person, then when the stress is up and the chips are down, we'll be as insane as our power person was. And when you create a space and you create relationship where it's safe to allow those dynamics to come up, and one person or the other can hold the space of love, then healing occurs. Sadly, or appropriately, most relationships, which the world calls love relationships, are based on matching bags of garbage. That's one of the primary attractors for people in relationship, is their bags of garbage. And so when one person goes into their power person dynamic, it tends to trigger the same thing in the partner. And that's when things get crazy. But if there's the commitment to use the tools, it's the most precious gift there is to have those deeply hurt parts of the mind come forward for healing. Because it's not until they come forward. While they're hidden, they're not changeable. You might remember in the ancient teachings they said, nothing will remain hidden. Everything will be made known in the light of day. When are those things going to be made known to you? They're going to be made known when the stress is up and the chips are down. Those things are going to start to open. And if you can stay conscious, then you have the opportunity to hold to healing that power person dynamic. That you can, if you can hold the space of love, or your partner can, then they become the space that dissolves the power person dynamic that's opened in you. If you can refrain from pointing the finger at them and puking on them for the fact that you're in pain. And that's a huge piece of work to stop the denial of the culture. The denial is so insidious in our culture And our definition, the primary working definition of denial that we use is when I think or speak as though something outside of me is causing something to happen inside of me, then what happens is I instruct my mind, I unconsciously instruct my mind to keep the part of me that creates the pain and the turmoil hidden from me so that that part does not come forward directly. But what happens when we do that is each time we push against and don't want to deal with that unconscious dynamic, what happens is we add more energy to it. And as we add more energy to it, the next layer becomes more intensified. And so by the time those things open, they're usually pretty emotionally intense. And when you enter into partnership that truly creates support, where each person is actually willing to speak about and be confronted with the behaviors that they do and to investigate those behaviors without reflection on someone else or something else. The person who, you might remember that we've talked about the Harvard research. It says that in a time frame where 10,000 brain cells fire, the max amount of information that goes into conscious awareness is 9 bits. A very small, tiny bit of data goes into awareness in any given time frame. And if one is in total willingness, then in that space of willingness, what happens is those hidden dynamics start to come forward instead of being stuffed down, stuffed down, stuffed down. And when they come forward and you can come into direct relationship with them, instead of putting them into your brain's image of another, then you get to confront from the space of active love the parts of your mind that are in need of healing. Instead of, you made me mad, you made me sad, that upsets me. Well, you know, when I look at that, it really confuses me. Now, that seems like a pretty innocent statement. I look at that and it confuses me. What's out of line about that? Well, if I think that something outside of me is the cause of my confusion, then I hide the part of my mind that's causing the confusion. And now I can't heal that part of my own mind. I'm stuck in it. I'm lost in it. And so the idea of this work is to be able to come back into direct relationship with that in us which causes our pain. If we refuse to do that, then we're continuously setting out a high energy wave that will pull somebody in to do it to us again. And when they do it to us, what happens is they resonate in us the hidden part of our minds, the part we've been in denial of. And when those hidden parts of the mind start to resonate, they literally create pictures. Your mind is a conversion device that converts mind energy into pictures. You know, the same way a TV signal, there's no picture in the TV signal that comes into your TV, but there's a converter there that converts that information into a picture. So if I live in a world of I always get picked on, first of all, a high energy wave out of those brain cells that I've probably tried to push down 1,000 times, and someone will come along and tend to pick on me. When they begin to pick on me, they're going to resonate that part of my mind that holds that pain, and I will literally convert that part of my mind into a picture of them. They'll show up in my mind made up of that which I'm in denial of. So I create a picture. I literally generate a reality that locks me into the belief that someone outside of me causes something to happen inside of me. If I get lost in that reality, then I'm going to really truly believe that this is caused by someone else. once I realized that I've been through this 87 different times with 42 different people, and that which is going on inside of me is about me, it's not about you, and it's not about anybody else, then I can short-circuit that whole process of projection, of putting my content into my brain's image of you through forgiveness. If I don't do that, then what happens is, out of those energies moving in me, based on the content of my mind and the behavior that you've done, that energy moving in me that creates my perception based in hostility or fear, literally, at the same time, sprays an energy of hostility or fear on the person that I'm looking at. And on all people in the space. When I realize that that's what's happening, the core of first century Aramaic forgiveness is, how do I change that dynamic? How do I remove that part of my mind? Well, I've got to come back into direct relationship with it. And the way that I come back into direct relationship with that part of my mind is by looking at the circumstance that I'm involved in and recognizing that I have a goal for whoever my object of attention is, whether it's myself or someone else. And that goal is the thing that drives or constructs my perception. If you think in terms of a computer printer driver, once you load the printer driver, then you can print out a page that looks like what you want it to look like. Without the driver, you don't get such a thing. So when I load a goal in my mind, go back to that Harvard research, something selects out of the 10,000 brain cells firing the 9 bits of data that are going to show up as my conscious perception, my conscious reality. And when I recognize that it's my goal that drives that whole process, then the goal becomes the key way into healing that part of my mind. And healing looks like the core of forgiveness, nothing to do with I'm going to let you or somebody else off the hook. The core of forgiveness happens when I cancel the goal that I hold for you. Now, what we call the non-being mind, the mind based in hostility or fear, goes berserk at that idea. But that's crazy. Why would I do that? This is a perfectly wonderful goal. I should have this. I deserve this. And to that person, I say, yes, I agree with you. You do deserve it, Creator. Why haven't you created it yet? And I'd offer, if there's something in your life that you say you want, but over and over and over again it seems to be blocked, it's because you're blocking the creation of it. And when you allow yourself to touch directly into what never belonged, and you do that by canceling the goal, because what happens is all we're seeing is the surface mind when we're in hostility or fear. What's under the surface, we don't get to see. When you cancel the goal, what happens is the conscious part of the mind, the conscious awareness, collapses. The projection out of the pain part of my mind of my pain into my brain's image of you collapses. And when it collapses, I get to see the part of my mind that I need to heal. I get to see it directly. And as I do, it begins to dissolve. It literally, by exposure to love. If you've worked with the forgiveness process, if you go to the worksheet in step 4, once you've established what the goal is in this situation, you've laid out the situation, you've established what the goal is, then before you cancel the goal, you stand and you step into a conscious, active space of love, which is a practice. And as you engage in that practice and love is conscious, active, and present, then by canceling the goal, what happens is the underlying, the underbelly of your perception is now exposed to love. And when it's exposed to love, you get to heal. It's the most awesome thing. It's simple, it's straightforward, it's really, really easy to do. Although, the willingness to do it, the willingness to look at those deeper parts of the mind become the biggest challenge. So we're here to support you in understanding how that process works and answer questions based on it. And I don't know if we can answer any questions yet because I don't know if we've got Jeannie here yet or not. Sweetie, are you with
me?
You
do, and I apologize. And
oh,
thank
goody.
You, Michelle.
Well, I figured some.
I can't get used to the Central Time instead of Eastern Time. We've been on Eastern Time for 9 months, and now all of a sudden
right,
we chose
yes.
12 instead of 1. But she texted me and said that I can't get in the chat room about 5 minutes after 12, and I was like, oh, my goodness. So, anyway.
We're going to have to send some alarms on your phone, sweetie.
Yeah, I know. We do have a question in the chat room, and then we do have a hand up. Michelle's actually
oh, cool. Let's
in the
go
chat
for
room.
It.
Yeah, and so this person wants to know, they're new at this, they're not, you know, familiar with the work, kind of being introduced to it, and they're really wanting to know how do they go about starting to reset the filters. What's a good starting point for that?
Well, why don't you share your story of the lady you worked with on the phone with private sessions and cats? I think that's powerful.
Okay. Yeah, I actually thought of another example, too, but I was going to let you address it. But there was this lady that I worked with doing the worksheets, and she could not get reconnected. It was just like she didn't have that newborn experience. She didn't have any siblings that had children, so she didn't have any nieces or nephews. So she didn't have that, and she couldn't relate to how can that reconnect you to love. But she had a cat that she absolutely loved. And so I was working with her, and I said, well, imagine your cat and holding it and petting it, and that didn't work. She had to actually go get her cat and put it in her lap and pet the cat, and then she could, like, calm down and get reconnected into a good space. After probably, I don't know, 3 weeks, she got to the point where she could think about going and getting her cat. But for a time period, she actually had to go pick her cat up and hold it. I worked with someone a couple weeks ago, and they were working with their child. And at first when they were talking about the child, and it was like, you know, oh, I need to do these worksheets with my son. He is, you know, giving me such a challenge and all of this. And just some of the language that she was using, I expected she was going to tell me he was a teenager. And she turns around and tells me he's 4. And so I told her, I said, well, you know, one of the things is around the age of 3 or 4 is when we kind of let go of being who we are and start taking on that we need to do something or be something other than just who we are in order to receive approval, and we confuse that for love. And so I told her, I said, you know, your child is probably at that age now where, you know, he's letting go of who he really is, and he's got all this confusion up, and so it's anger and everything, and he doesn't know what to do with it. And so she was wanting to know, well, how can I use these tools with him? Because he doesn't even read yet. You know, he's too small, you know, too little to understand this terminology. And I said, okay. I said, when he gets into this little tizzy or whatever, I said, just stop, take him by the hands and say, you know, okay, let's go to the beach. I said, close your eyes, you know, and hold his hands and just walk him through all 5 senses. So imagine your toes are in the sand and you can feel, you know, the wind against your face and ruffling your hair, and you can smell the salt water and you can hear the waves rolling in. I said, and name all 5 senses. You know, you see the blue clouds or the blue sky and the white clouds and the seagulls. And I said, walking through this whole experience, because she had said that he liked going to the beach. And I said, walking through that experience and just, you know, take your time and visualize that. And she came back a couple days later, and she was just like, that is so awesome. You know, it just totally calmed him, got him into a centered space, and he forgot what he was all upset about. And so anything like that, I think, can help different space than in your upset. So I don't know if that would help or not, but
I think that's right on track, absolutely. And, you know, one of the things we teach children is that there are reasons outside of them to be upset. And so as adults, when we have upset inside of us, what we tend to do is live in a world where we find somebody to put our upset on. So I'm upset because of this. And when you say the child, you know, forgot what he was upset about. He wasn't upset about anything except the fact that there was upset in him. And at any given moment, we can put it on, you know, gee, I don't like the imaginary face I see in the tree. It scares me. Well, there's fear inside, and I look in the tree, and it happens to resonate an image of a boogeyman or whatever, and I can say I'm upset by that, but the truth is I'm only ever upset because there's upset in me. And so when I can get back to that space of love, those things tend to dissolve, and powerful way to do it. Another, you know, for me, the way that I usually reconnect to that is I had the privilege of getting to catch both of my children at home as they were being birthed. And in particular, my daughter, when her head delivered into my hands, she opened her eyes, laser right locked onto my eyes, and grinned at me. And that literally sent me into another universe. I mean, such a powerful, amazing space that I couldn't even think a thought. So I go back to that moment and just see her face once again, and I just connect to that, just go right back to it. So, you know, anything that will take you there. And then what we suggest doing is making that a practice, something that you work with every day until it just becomes first nature to connect with love no matter what's going on. And then in the middle of the worst disasters, you will have the most brilliant mind possible for you when you stay connected to love, because that's where the real mind of the universe is. It's in that space of love. So I hope that helps our listener.
Yes, she said that it did. So
cool.
Let me read the... What about... So it's good to connect with love, but what about when you still believe the illusion? You really, really, really know that the other person is causing the pain. Do you just tell yourself that that's an illusion? Or how can you go about switching that and changing your belief?
Well, of course, if you're an intensive asking that question, I'd turn to the board and I'd write the words, all of the above. If you listen to every one of our videotapes, you know, 35 hours or so of videotapes, you'd never hear me address or talk about anything else. If you listen to all of our audios, if you come into an intensive, you know, every tool is about how to do that. And so let's imagine, as I said earlier, cancel the thought, but the worst disaster possible is happening in your life. You've got two choices. One, if your generations have always thought that when there was something untoward going on, they had to be in hostility or fear, then you'll probably default to hostility or fear. But who told you that in the middle of some sort of a disaster or a situation where somebody isn't, you know, going along with your infantile demands, who told you that you'd be better off in hostility than you would be in love? Somebody lied to you. So you can maintain that position in your mind connected to love, even if you were totally, completely, 1,000% sure that the cause is somebody else. So what? Why would I turn my power over to somebody else and give up my human life? Why, in the situation of dire circumstances, would I do anything other than stay connected to the most genius mind in the universe, which resides within me, the mind of love? In the ancient teachings, it was called the mind of Christ. You remember the goal of the work was to be of like mind with Christ. And that mind was the mind of love. That word Christ, you know, if you go check out the Strong's Concordance, it's a direct channel to God, a direct channel to love. You can always keep open. Why would you close that channel when there's something untoward happening in your life? That would be the time to open it the widest. But our culture has taught us the opposite. Why? Because those who would rule others have to keep others stupid and in servitude. And if you keep people in hostility or fear, they will not live up to their full genius potential, and they will play stupid and be controllable. So it's probably going to take changing the habit of 1,000 generations to say, in the situation where this happens and this is, you know, let's use all the words of the culture, it's wrong, it's bad, it's evil, I choose to stay connected to love. And when I do, then I'm empowered to do something different than what my culture's taught me to do. Does that make sense?
She said, yes, it did. And I had another example, too. You know, there's a story in the scriptures that talks about there's this huge storm going on, and the disciples are in this boat, and they're terrified. And they see Yeshua walking across the water. And Peter says, you know, I know if you ask me to step out, that I can walk on water too. And Yeshua's like, well, come on. And so he steps out, and as long as he pays attention to where he's going, he walks on water. Nothing has changed in the circumstances. The same storm is going on. Nothing has changed except his focus. Then when he changes his focus from I'm walking on water and I'm headed in the direction I want to go, and he starts looking at the circumstances, then he begins to sink because he's changed what he's focusing on. It's like, you know, I use the example in the women's workshops of I have a rope, and I have somebody out of the audience come up and take the other end of the rope, and we pull back and forth. You know, we used to call it tug of war. And I said, okay, now if I drop my end of the rope, it changes your game whether you want it to or not. And so when you change the way that you are looking at things, when you change what's going on inside of you, you let go of the fear and the hostility, and you stay connected to where you're going, regardless of the circumstances. I know in your circumstance, you're talking about your spouse. And so, you know, he may do the exact same behavior, but you won't be triggered because your focus will be in a different place. And then what will happen is because, you know, let's say that you're afraid and he's angry, just using that as an example. The person needs an angry person to come into their space to bring up their fear so that they can acknowledge it and heal it. And by the same token, the angry person needs a fearful person to come into their space so that they can be angry for that to come up for their healing as well. However, most of the time when those things come up, everybody's like, you know, I didn't feel this until you came around, so I get rid of you and I put that back down and I get to do it again. So when you change, let's say you go through and you do your work around the fear or whatever it is, and it changes his game because he's not getting that feedback that he's needing as well. And so there's one of four things will happen when you do your work and the other person doesn't. Is one, they'll really like what's going on. They'll like the change. They'll like the difference. You know, hey, what are you doing here? You know, I want some of this too. I want to be part of this. And that's, of course, the ultimate. That's what we hope for. The second one is, you know, it really looks good on you. And, you know, I support you in keeping on doing it. That's great. I don't want it, but, you know, I support you doing it. The third one is they become really angry or whatever and kick up the heat to get you back the way you were because now you're not controllable. And so they'll want to get you back to that. And then the fourth thing is there's no resonance and I'm out of here. So, but there will be a change. When you drop your end of the rope in the game of tug of war between you and your spouse, then the whole game changes. And you're in control of how you change it because you get to control what's inside of you. I hope that helped.
Golly, you're good at that. That's awesome.
I live with the master.
And and to recognize that literally whatever we're making our perception out of, the way we see the world, we're radiating an energy directly from that quality of energy. And so if I perceive someone, let's say the angry and the fearful person that you're talking about, Jeannie, the angry person is spraying the acid of anger on the person who's in fear. The person who's in fear sprays the acid of fear on the angry person. And they just go round robin. And, you know, nobody likes to have acid sprayed on them, so the tendency is to just get more and more and more involved in the destructive energy. when I collapse my perception based in hostility or fear and choose to connect to love and perceive through love instead, one, I'll see a whole different person out there. Two, I'll open the space where now, instead of spraying the acid of hostility or fear on someone, I'm literally spraying love on them. I'm literally radiating the energy of love that just, and tend to get a whole lot happier when you're spraying them with love than with hostility and fear. And so that's part of the process. And what happens is the forgiveness process weakens the automatic responses that tend to keep us in hostility or fear. And when you notice yourself in some form of hostility or fear, it's a big trick to keep your focus on yourself rather than the perceptual mind that makes up pictures of how everybody else is the cause of what's happening. It's huge. And it's a total turnaround from what's been going on the planet for, you know, as far as we can establish, at least forever, that has been going on. And so it's a big piece of work when I'm in upset for me to stop and take a breath and go, I'm in upset. I've got some pain here. I've got some rage, some guilt, some fear, whatever it is. And to make space, remember that 9-bit mind. I mean, that's just a little tiny bit of space. And it doesn't take long when you start focusing on others to fill that space and be cut off from your own internal dynamics, which means you're going to get to live the title of my book, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? And so the idea, of course, as the name of the radio show implies, is mind shifters, to be able to shift the mind from that. So that's what we're here to support.
Awesome. And let me just add to, she typed in there that, you know, it seems complex. And it's because there's so much information and you're new at it. You know, just take it one day at a time. Remember to breathe. That is, like, crucial to everything and anything. It's just to breathe. And even if you don't believe everything, you know, just take it step at a time. Give it a try. You'll see that it works. And, you know, don't try to understand it or figure it out. Just, you know, take it little at a time. Do the worksheets and breathe. And have support. You know, we can't do this on our own. So when it's up in our face, it's got us by the face, to have someone there, and you do, you've got someone right there with you that can offer you support, that knows how to do the worksheet, and she's phenomenal at it. So, you know, whenever you feel like it's got you by the face and you can't, you know, make heads or tails of it, just take some deep breaths, you know, do the worksheets, and keep in contact with your support. You know, we all need someone there to hold us up. And we do have two callers.
Great. Well, let's say hello and see what our callers have got to say.
Okay. The first one's area code 470. You're on the air.
Hi, it's Lorelei, Jeannie, and Michael.
Well, welcome, young
Lorelei.
Lady. How are you?
I'm good. How are you both?
Good. How are things in Hotlanta?
Hot.
Hot, are they?
Real hot.
Oh, we're a little on the cool side here in Theodosia.
Oh, nice. I bet it's beautiful. So, Michael, I...
Very
wow.
Pretty day.
Yes. It's beautiful here, too, just hot. So, you know, I've been to the website. I'm trying to find one of the shows where you're actually walking through the process. And
that's
I'm wondering
easy.
If... Oh, okay.
Are you in front of your computer?
I am.
Okay. Well, are you on whyagain.org?
Let me get back there. I was just there. Yes.
Okay. So scroll down the page until you see the bullseye.
Okay.
Click on the bullseye.
One second. Okay, click on the bullseye where it says start your
okay.
life. Okay.
Yep. So there'll be a link that opens up. The first link under that is chapter 24 of the book, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? The second link is a link to worksheets.
Right.
The third link is a link to radio shows. If you click that third link.
The third link. Okay, I'm looking at worksheets to print and use. But I've got
yes.
here.
So if you scroll down just
Gina,
a little
Gina, you go
bit,
ahead.
You, will,
you know. You,
if you scroll down where it says worksheets to print, and you'll see it says chapter 24, the next one says stress reality management, and the next one says click here to go to a list of MP3 instructions and support on worksheets.
Yes.
Live
oh,
radio
oh.
shows.
Those are the specific. Okay, cool.
Yeah, so cool. If you click that, then you've got 14 different radio shows. So you've got 14 hours of us walking people through doing worksheets.
I know you said that, and I didn't. Okay, great. So then I can. Those are specific. Because I was just. I just went into a random show just to see. Yeah. So okay, cool. So if I may ask a question here, I feel the miraculousness of this, and it's like I'm one of those people. I find myself talking about something as I'm learning it. So I'm finding myself sharing the premise that, you know, I'm forgiving a reality in my mind versus what's happening outside of me. So, Michael, that could be, in addition to it being, you know, somebody does something, Sarah, John, whoever, I assume it could also be, like, for instance, like today, I'm feeling tremendous anxiety. I'm getting ready to create something new, and I'm feeling an old place of nobody's going to respond, I'll be abandoned, blah, blah, blah. So that would be something I'm assuming I could do a worksheet on, correct?
Well, what you just said would probably be a worthy project to do 24 worksheets at least.
Thanks,
okay?
Michael.
So, well, but that's what you – remember that, you know, remember in the workshops when we were there in Atlanta, we repeated the CIA – take or quote that says we do not record reality, but we generate reality. So when you open your eyes and you look around a room, and in the room you see a desk and a dresser and a rocking chair and a cabinet and a bed and a lamp, all of that comes from the firing of brain cells. Remember, you don't have a window that shows you what's out there. You have a perceptual system that gives you its version of what's out there. Now, how many files need to fire in a mind to produce that detailed a 3D image? I mean, it's huge. I don't know. Maybe millions of files. And so in a situation where you're looking at doing something new and you've got trepidation, which, you know, to me would point, and if you've got your pen handy, might want to make some notes, to me would point to, I'm probably not good enough, or people won't accept me, or won't like what I do, or it won't be valuable. Each of those would be a different worksheet.
Okay.
And each worksheet, what happens is, you know, of the million files that are firing to create this disturbed perception and anxiety, each worksheet that you do will go in and collapse the root of that particular perception. And the more files you can go into, so to speak, around a given issue, the weaker that construct in your mind becomes until it just collapses. And then you look at a new project, and instead of Lorelei playing out the I'm not good enough, I don't do it well enough, will anybody really support me, you know, whatever all the dynamics are, when that collapses and your mind can no longer generate it, there will be Lorelei, the awesome genius being called love, going, what am I going to create now? What am I going to put out into the world that the world is just going to love to receive from me? Because I'm here fulfilling my purpose.
Right.
So,
Go ahead. Sorry. Well, I was going to say, if you were making up, just from what I told you, what the goal might be, I mean, like you said to me the last time I was on the air with you, which was, you know, that I had a goal of my father being sexually appropriate. I don't know if you remember. It was just a
right.
week ago.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I do.
So if you
yeah.
were making it up just to get, in other words, what a goal around this whole issue might be, what might it be? I mean, I know it's my goal, but I'm just trying to get a sense of the process.
Sure. Yeah. So I could easily imagine that from just the little that you've said, which is why I said there are many worksheets in there, that goals like Lorelei wants to be loved. I want to be taken care of. I want to be accepted. I want to be acknowledged. I want to be abundant. There's five right off in regard to Lorelei. Goals of the toward the world, you know, the object of attention. Maybe it's a particular employer. I don't have any idea what the project is you're doing, but you're doing a project, let's say, for a particular company. So I want to easily get an appointment with the CEO of that company would be a goal. When I get my appointment with the CEO of that company, I want them to be receptive and responsive to what I offer. There's a goal. When the CEO of the company looks at my project, I want them to say, you know what? You're not asking for enough money. We're going to give you double what you're asking for it. That would be another goal. So just looking, you know, basically looking at all the results that you'd like to see in a circumstance that resonates anxiety for you, and as you start canceling those drivers, those are all the drivers, you know, if you look back, if you did, now that's just, you know, kind of an example of what the goals might be, but if you just sat down and did a dozen goals around what this whole issue is, then you will see how in each case that goal not being fulfilled in your life brought forward and resonated anxiety in you. And
yeah.
each time you collapse the goals around that, you go back to the root of that anxiety. And, you know, one root might be when I was two, when I put my arms up and I wanted Daddy to just hug me. And, you know, Daddy was late for work and rushing out the door. I had no idea of that. I just went, oh, he doesn't love me. Ah.
Yeah.
So that might be one thing that I might drop into. It might be, you know, when I was 9 years of age and I was in the third grade and I was getting ready to be called on to go up and give read my paper on, you know, my summer vacation. And when I went to get up to do that, I hit my toe, I tripped, and was just embarrassed, and that created so much anxiety. So, you know, canceling the goal to gracefully go into the office of the CEO might take you back to that event and dissolve that. So each worksheet will dissolve a different aspect of the underpinning of this construct called anxiety until, as you clean it out, and, you know, you go back to Yeshua, and they said, how many of these worksheets do we have to do? Is seven enough? And his answer in Aramaic was 77 times 70, that
yeah.
you collapse enough of the underpinning that your mind can't even literally conceive of that, can't make it up, because the root that contributes to it isn't there anymore. You know, it's like if we had a palette of paints, and I want to do a painting, but I want to make sure that I don't get red in the painting, then I would get rid of whatever contributes to red. And then I've got a palette that only includes yellows and greens and blues and purples. I don't get red. So that's the idea. And so to me, that input that, oh, gee, there's at least a dozen, two dozen there, that's good news, because you go, oh, I can pinpoint. Okay, here. And until you get to the point where you look at exactly the same circumstance, I'm creating something new, and all you can find is the enthusiasm of being, because you've dissolved the rest. You've forgiven the rest.
So
remember
again,
the word forgive means remove.
Move. So removing the goal of I want to be accepted, I want them to pay me money, I want the, whatever that is.
Yeah. Well, that's the canceling part. The removal is when you cancel and you collapse the projection that it's about the current moment, and you drop into the part of your mind that needs to be removed, the 3-year-old, the 5-year-old, the 10-year-old experience.
Got it. Okay. Thank you.
So you're right on track. Awesome. We're delighted to hear from you.
Yeah, well, you'll be hearing from me again. Yeah,
cool. Tell me about your new project.
Well, what I'm doing is I'm creating Dare to Dream Days because I'm real clear that my skills as an astrologer, and I got my graduate degree in counseling in the last couple of years, an interviewer and minister are all in service to helping people dare and allow their dreams to come true. So I'm going to be inviting people literally into Robin's cosmic nest. You know, when I was on the air with my dad at 4, it was Robin's nest. I used to introduce his radio show, so there's a whole thing here. And now it's like inviting people into my home, anyway, to be safe enough to be able to express all of who they are. So there's that part of me going, you know, who's going to come, who, blah, 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 as opposed to, oh, my God, how fun is this going to be, you know? And I'm not there. I'm there, but I'm not there because of all these things that need to be collapsed and removed.
There you go.
Thank
and
you, Michael.
And isn't it awesome that we teach best that which we most need to learn? So here you are teaching it, and you get in front of it, and you clean up that part of your mind. How cool is that?
Yeah. I'm really, you know, it's funny how we always get what we need, and you came back to Atlanta, at least for me, at the perfect time to really embrace these tools, because I so get the whole concept of it, and I'm kind of gingerly walking through the emotional pieces, so thank you so much.
Great. Well, I'd really strongly support you, because in the listening to those all 14 of those different hours, because each one is a different worksheet with a different person. The real live calls, just like, you know, if we went into a worksheet right now, that would be another call on the list. And each one has different nuances in the forgiveness process. So there's a huge piece of instruction in those 14 hours. And so, and all you do when you find them there is just right click, and or you can double click on them and just listen, or you can right click and save them to your computer, and or, you know, drag them to your iPhone or your Android phone or your MP3 player, whatever, and you got them to listen to anytime you want.
Well, beautiful, because I'm listening to the book in the car. That's
cool.
When I'm in the car, I'm listening to the book, so thank you.
Awesome, awesome. Well, and any questions and refinements that come up as you do, you know where we are every day, 5 days a week anyway.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Jeannie.
You're welcome.
Love you guys.
All right, delighted. Blessings. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, we're down to about 2 minutes, but let's see if we can get a quick question in from 910. You're on the air.
910. I think that's Memphis, Tennessee, isn't it? Let's turn away for a minute.
910, you're on.
Are you with us, 910? Okay, it sounds like they must have gotten distracted from the phone, and we're down to about the last minute and a half. So what we'll do is we'll just say thank you for joining us today and every day that you do. We would very much appreciate your support of letting others know about the radio show, know about the archives, know that they can download the book, Why Is This Happening to Me Again, free from the website, that those MP3s are there, of course, that the radio show's here, and we're just honored and delighted to answer questions. And if you're ready to take your work to the next level, then beginning on July the 11th, we'll start 68 days of workshops. There'll be 6 different modules. One's an economy module where you can come and do 10 days for $750 for everything, food, accommodations, workshops, workshop materials. And then we'll go from that opening workshop that starts on July the 11th, 10 days. We'll go into a 9-day, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? Then into a 16-day codependence communication practicum and a 3-day training on doing the personal code evaluation for those who want to teach and work with others. And then we'll do a 16-day laws of living, and Jeannie will do an 8-day healing the whole woman. So we got a busy summer scheduled, lined up, and we'd be delighted to have you come join us. Take a look at the website. Set yourself up to come play. Have a blessed day. Create the best year yet of your eternal life. It's an awesome thing to give the world. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie, who present the internal Aramaic process of forgiveness. Michael and Jeannie are here every Monday through Friday on Earth Angels Radio. For more on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. That's www.whyagain.com.